Welcome back to Worst Seats in the House. Michael Russo, Anthony LaPanta. We're going to be breaking down the exit meetings, the exit interviews that we had with John Hines and Anthony. See, there's a slip of the tongue.
I didn't have any exit meetings. Yeah. I had a few fans ask me if I have exit meetings.
That'd be funny.
It would.
I would love to be in your exit meeting with John Hines and Bill Guerin.
No, in fact, it is funny that you bring this up. I had a guy ask me, happened to be sitting in the sauna at Lifetime the other day, but he turned to me and he said, "Yeah, I was here and listening to you guys talk about the upcoming exit meetings. Do you have an exit meeting?" And I said, "Well, I'm not an employee of the Minnesota Wild, so no, I don't." And I said, "But we used to have some meetings with the Bally's guys at the end of seasons. Maybe that was the pre-bankruptcy Bally's, but, and where we would talk about our shows and really break them down. And so we do have some meetings like that, but they're certainly not the exit meetings like what the players just went through with these guys."
That would be outstanding, though, if I could just sit in on one of your like Tony Federici, like sits down
with
you.
They'd probably tell me to spend less time with Michael Russo.
They 100% would. It's quite the coup that you still have a job doing these games after being with me for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
I'm the most popular person.
To change the subject quickly when your name comes up around the office.
Yeah. People noticed I wasn't on Bally's this year. Of a mean tweet that I put about their app. So anyway.
Yeah, see, it's really easy. You just reply with, "I don't have the app, so I'm really sorry I can't help you, but I apologize for it."
By the way, my favorite thing about having paying for an ESPN app is that you can't watch ESPN during the playoffs on the app. Like today I tried to go.
Oh, really? I didn't know that yet.
You have to have cable, which I got rid of. There you go. All right.
It's just part of the worst national TV deal that the NHL's ever signed with the allowing ESPN to take games away from regional TV networks and say, "We're going to put them on ESPN Plus only."
Yeah.
So you have to subscribe to this app if you want to get however many Wild games were on there this year. I don't know, 3, 4, 5.
Well, we were even talking about like what would have happened if like the Wild didn't make the playoffs, but San Jose is your last telecast. What if it came down to L.A. or the last home game against Seattle, and you are signing off in San Jose having no idea.
Right. No idea if we're done for the year or not.
Yeah.
"Hey, thanks for watching. We might be back in a week. We might not. We don't know. Yeah. If we're gone, thanks for being a part of things."
Yeah.
It's brutal. And I know that the league signed the deal and took on all kinds of, got a big cash payment for it and everything. And it's great to be back. For the league to be back on ESPN, to be on the Turner family, I understand the motivation behind it. But the reality is that there are some little things like that that seem like they would have been really easy to make adjustments. Nobody can take the last game for a team for the season. It could be that simple. So that you allow your, and most teams, and I shouldn't say this because I don't know it for sure anymore, but when the deal was signed, most teams were getting more money from their regional sports deal than they were their share of the U.S. national rights deal. The national rights deal is bigger than any team's deal for certain, but the team's share in it was smaller. And the teams are the ones who would have to go to complain about it and say, "Look, we want more games on our local affiliate," all those things. And though there's a million things in play that I'm skimming over, but I wish they had some kind of a deal that said, "You can't take the last show." The way they backload the schedule every year is really frustrating for guys like me, because ESPN doesn't want games in the fall because they've got NFL football and Major League Baseball playoffs and all that kind of stuff. They only want a bunch of games at the end. So we wind up losing, I don't know what the exact numbers were this year, but I think we lost 7 or 8 of the 13 that we lost were in the last 6 weeks of the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And that just never feels right to me.
Yeah.
Like they're not taking a game in Columbus in November, but they're taking the games in Denver against the Avalanche in March when a team is fighting for a playoff spot.
Yeah. They're not taking Columbus anytime. People don't realize that you lose the max. While a lot of other markets
every
don't.
Year we do.
Yep.
Which is a good thing. People ask me that a lot. Like, would you rather be on a team that was irrelevant and not lose as many games? Well, clearly you'd rather be, and it has to do with two things. Number one, the team and their national draw. But number two, and most importantly, their local ratings. And we have some of the highest local ratings in the league. So the national networks come in and they say, if we take this game, we know we're going to get at least that audience or a big chunk of that audience in Minneapolis-St. Paul. It's the same reason why St. Louis loses the max every year. Pittsburgh loses the max every year because they have some of the highest local ratings in the league. And I would much rather be working for a team that had a passionate audience that drew great ratings, that was relevant, as opposed to working in Columbus or even teams like Anaheim. They're in a huge market, but they're kind of an afterthought in that market. Mm-hmm. So they don't lose a ton of games every year to the national deal. Arizona doesn't lose any. We lose the max. It's a good thing. It's frustrating, but it's a good thing.
Yeah. But I like your game 82 thing. It's kind of like LTI. If you're not available to play in game 82, right, you can't play in the playoffs.
It was shocking. Mark Stone was 100% healthy.
And there he is. He's back.
And they come out with all the numbers that, well, it's everything's above board. Everything's by the rules. And it is. We've talked about this before. I called them shenanigans. They're not doing anything illegal. It's just a stupid rule that it's allowed to happen. And I saw the tweets Vegas put out with it. Everything about this, the league's doctors are involved. You can't tell me there's not somebody there who would say if Vegas needed to win game 82 and they weren't $10, $15 million over the cap, that Mark Stone couldn't have been declared ready to play in game 82.
Yeah.
They knew that they had their playoff spot 4 games ago. Therefore, it's shocking that the timing 2 years in a row just happens to be, hey, he's declared healthy now that the regular season's over.
I like how they're going now with internal injuries where you can actually inspect it.
Right.
All right. So we're going to talk about the exit interviews that not only the exit meetings, but the exit interviews that John Hines and Bill Guerin had with the media on Friday. We're going to talk about some of the player exit interviews as well with the media and things like that. But let's welcome one of our newest sponsors, Feller's Ranch.
Feller's Ranch. I'm a huge fan of Feller's Ranch. Best steaks that I've ever had. And I mean that literally. All the steak places that we've visited on the road over the course of the years, the steaks that we've enjoyed, we talked about the Akaushi steaks all the time from Kowalski's. These steaks are better. They are unbelievable. It's the first Wagyu ranch in Minnesota. There are a couple of local guys who decided they wanted to have the best steaks, and it's down in southern Minnesota. I think their ranch is in Conger. They're from Albert Lea, but the steaks are incredible. And they purchased a bunch of cattle when a ranch over in Western U.S. went out of business. And they just decided that they wanted to go down the road. They'll figure out how to make money later in life. Let's just get the best steaks. And right now, as a consumer, you have the opportunity to take advantage of that. These steaks are incredible. The marbling is at a level that the marbling levels are 1 through 10. They won't even sell it as a steak if it's not a 6 or a 7. And we've had a couple of these cuts. You can get them at some of the best restaurants in town, including one of our favorite spots, Baltimore and Roseville. And it's not even on the menu because their ranch is so small, they can't provide it.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't tell people that you can get it at Baltimore, so save more for us.
That's true, yeah. Except when you go there, look at the menu and then say, hey, what do you have from Feller's? And they'll always have something. We've had a Denver cut there that's among my favorite steaks I've ever had in my life. Their fillets, their ribeyes, quite literally everything they've got is terrific. And they've even got the burgers at Baltimore are from Feller's. They have a Wagyu burger that is a Wagyu beef and Gouda cheese. It's incredible. You can go to fellersranch.com and order it, but you won't be disappointed by the steaks. These are the best steaks I've had ever anywhere. And it's all local, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, we'll tell you a little bit more about Feller's Ranch in a little bit. And when Anthony uses the term literally, you know that he means it.
Because
Anthony is literally the most annoying person in the world when it comes to the use of literally. If you use the word literally and it is actually not literally, he will freaking light you up like a Christmas tree. It's the only time I ever see him get
that
angry.
That doesn't make me literally the most annoying because I'm just saying it bothers me when people use literally incorrectly.
Yes. All right, let's talk about John Hines and Bill Guerin the other day. You know, the one interesting thing about the Bill Guerin exit interviews is that he really didn't make any excuses about injuries. And similarly with the players, they didn't make a lot of excuses at all about injuries. Injuries, you know, excuses sometimes I think sometimes we all get like wrapped up in the whole excuse making thing, but injuries were a reality to this season. But what I liked about Bill Guerin's message the other day is he did not use an excuse. He had every reason in the world to, because injuries were a huge part of the season. But what he pointed out is that they just weren't good enough. They didn't win the big games. And there were a lot of underachievers on this team. And this is the type of stuff that must be corrected next year, because again, they're going to have $14.7 million worth of cap. So it's going to be absolutely impossible, even though he blamed himself for the lack of depth on this team, to really make up for it. Because again, it's reality. They literally have a major issue when it comes to depth on this team, because they are paying
$15 million under the cap.
Exactly. And so
all that's true. And I will back up a little bit, because I hear it a lot of times from fans that will say, oh, you're making excuses. It's not an excuse. It's an explanation. Sometimes I'm not in the business of making an excuse. It's not, I have nothing to do with whether this team wins or loses. Billy does. And I think it was right that he didn't use it as an excuse. It is an explanation, though, and it is a reality. They had injuries that very few teams had to deal with. And if you weren't $15 million under the cap, you would have an easier time dealing with injuries. So I think it's a two, maybe even three-pronged problem that you talk about, is that, yes, you had injuries. You were under the cap, so therefore you didn't have the depth that you normally could have. And then, as we talked last week on the show, I think next year, going into next year, the Wild will better prepare themselves in terms of the type of depth that they'll have, different types of players ready to come up and fill spots. When Marcus Foligno and Patrick Maroon both went down, they didn't have a guy like that in Iowa. The guys they had to call up were all the same type of player. They were all guys that were top six guys in Iowa that weren't really suited to play third or fourth line NHL type roles. So I think they'll approach that differently. But I agree with you. It's the way Billy's approached everything since he's been here is, I don't care. The next guy's an NHL player too, so go win tonight. I don't care who's in, who's out, anything else. It was the way Dean approached things. It's the way John Hines has approached things. And with that as the underlying theme of how they want the organization to be run, they weren't good enough. They lost games that were key games at key times. It would have been easier if they didn't have the injuries, but that's not an excuse. It's just a reason.
I'll be interested to see what they do this offseason, because I do think they have to get bigger, but I think that there's limited abilities to do that just because they are maxed out in terms of, not maxed out, but again, they have players locked and loaded on this team. Their roster is what it is. Their top 7D are going to be back. Probably 10 of their 12 or 13 right. Forwards are going to be back.
There's a huge difference in that. And I know that we talked about this last week. Adding a top six forward makes a huge difference. And they have the money to do that.
Right.
Especially if they trade. And now if they trade Filip Gustavsson, now you've got even more. Now you can go out and get just about any top six forward you want.
But I will say,
I'm not saying it's going to change the size.
Yep. But they're not going to go out and get every top six forward. Like, I can promise you right now.
But they'll get one.
Yeah, but their one guy is going to be a veteran that's probably on a one-year deal.
Maybe.
And that limits you, because they're not – Steven Stamkos isn't coming here at 1 year.
No, but
– you know, like I'll tell you right now. Like, I think on July 1st they're going to sign David Perron. Like, I think that's the guy, because it's got to be somebody that fits a certain mold. It's got to be 1 year to buy them time for Danila Yurov or somebody like that. It's not going to be anybody on a 5-year deal at $4 million or something like that. It's going to be somebody on a.
It depends on who's available. Yeah. I mean, if it's the guys like David Perron, I wouldn't sign him to more than a 1-year deal. But if you've got a guy, there's some other ways that this could work. I started to look at just the, and it's all a guess, because you don't know exactly what Faber's extension is going to be. You don't know exactly what Kaprizov's is going to look like. You don't know exactly what some of these other young players might be.
Yeah.
But you have the ability, I think, especially if you trade Gustavsson, and maybe the Gustavsson trade is for a guy like that. That could be too, a guy that's already under contract. We don't know. But if you make a deal where you deal him and let's say you don't take much on in salary coming back, I think there's ways where it could be a 3x5, 4x5, 4x6 kind of player that I think could still fit,
right,
if that's the way you wanted to go. And I don't know.
I don't think it's what the way they wanted to go.
And I don't know who those players might be.
You're off that they're going to be slotting into the top six. They believe that Ogren's going to be a middle six. They have Riley Height coming, Hunter Haight. They've already locked themselves into these veterans. They're not going to do it again with a free agent. They are going to
unless it's a free agent that could be a part of your future. That's what I'm saying is that
it could be. I'm just telling you.
If they do that,
then you might as well trade all the prospects. Like this gets back to us like blocking guys out for a while. Trust me, I know what the plan is right now, and they're going to sign somebody to a 1-year deal.
Right. And I understand that.
Right.
I'm saying, but that plan can change if the right guy is available,
right,
and they have the ability right. to do that.
So then trade your off and Height and not, Haight no, and all but, these guys.
But, but if you don't have to trade those guys, as I've said from day one, like if those guys are better than the other guys, play better.
Right.
Outplay them and take their spot in the lineup.
You have to, at some point, work these guys into the lineup, Anthony, or in 2030, we're going to be talking about the same problem. Like, they've got to eventually start playing these guys. That is why Filip Gustavsson is going to be traded this offseason, because they need to get Jesper Wallstedt into the lineup.
Right.
They are going to, there's a reason why, like, let me just, like, again, Riley Height next year is going to get an unbelievable opportunity, but it's not going to play on the fourth line. They need him to play in a top role.
And if he's good enough to play, then he'll play.
Right.
And if he's not,
but again, they're not going to sign a free agent at 30 years old to a 4 or 5 year deal.
Well, I'm not saying a 30-year-old guy. I'm saying what if there's a guy out there
that's 27 or 28 is going to be somebody that is going to be want a long-term deal.
And what if that guy, what if you get a guy who's, and I haven't looked at the free agent market. I was just looking at the Wild's money situation. What if there's a guy out there that's 27 years old that you signed to a 5x5 deal?
They're not going to do it.
But I'm just saying, what if the right guy's out there?
Yeah.
And instead of doing that, your alternative is to overpay for a 1-year deal for a veteran guy. I'm not bashing David Perron because I like David Perron a lot.
The point of them doing that is to buy them time for a year off to come over for an Ogre and a Height, a Haight to get ready this thing.
But there's no guarantee year off's coming.
Your off's going to come. It might not be this summer, but he's coming.
He's going to come eventually. I get it. But you don't know for sure. Are you really going to hitch your wagons to, like, who knows what happens with, you know what happens with these Russian guys. They might come. They might say they're coming a week.
But then you got Riley Height, Hunter Haight. Right. Like, all these guys are going to
and
be
all
ready.
All of those guys, they might be ready.
Right.
But they also might be the guy. If you get a guy that's a proven NHL guy.
So then we're going to be doing this for the rest of our lives, be talking about this team spinning its wheels, Anthony. Like, let me just tell you. All right. Regardless, they're going to sign somebody to a 1 or 2 year deal.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way they go too. But I'm saying I don't think it's the only way they have to go.
Trade some of these prospects away that we've waited for forever.
You don't have to trade the prospects. There's room for room for both of them.
They've got everybody locked up, Anthony.
But if any of these guys, you're talking about guys that are, we have no idea how good these guys will be in the NHL.
You don't know until you play them.
Right. And then, so you think that any other team out there, look at any team that's right now legitimately thinking they have a chance to make a run, and look at their lineup and point to a guy where it's, we just want to throw this guy in there and see if he's good enough. They're all banking on guys that they've got, that they have more of a proven track record than a rookie.
And most of these teams have, including one right there that just scored in McKinnon, most of these teams eventually played their guys and played them until they developed.
Well, there's not a Nathan McKinnon.
I'm just saying that at some point these guys need roster room, and signing anybody to a 4 or 5 year deal will block out Riley Height and Yurov and all these guys.
Look at the guys that Colorado has in their top six. Not one of those guys is the equivalent of a Hunter Height or a,
well, you don't know. I mean, we haven't seen any of these.
Nadinov or Liam Ogren or anything. I mean, they're not their top six guys. Now, 3 years from now, those guys might come in and play well enough.
But
right now, anybody that they brought up, they looked at and said, are you better than Val Nichushkin? No, you're not. So Nichushkin's playing in our top six, and we'll leave our prospects in the minor league.
First of all, that is the opposite of what Colorado did. they played them and played them and played them until they won a cup. Rantanen and MacKinnon and all these guys.
You're talking about guys who were top three picks. None of these Wild guys are Rantanen, MacKinnon, Landeskog, Makar. Those guys were all top five picks. We're talking about a bunch of guys who were picked in the bottom half of the first round or even the second round.
Anthony.
And I'm saying, like, Anthony, you don't win by saying, let's just throw these guys in there and say,
Anthony, hey, they are not positioned to win. Do you understand? Like, I don't understand what you're talking about here. Do you think they're going to go win a cup next year if they have a guy for four
gonna,
times
I don't
five?
Think they're going to win.
They got to start playing these kids. Next year is going to be another one of these years where they're going to be just praying to God that they are completely healthy.
Yeah, I actually think next year is different. I think they've got a lot more depth heading into next year than this year. Even just like as we talked about their lineup last week.
Remember when we said we're going to do a shorter podcast for 21 in?
Okay.
I'm just telling you.
I know. But remember when we talked last week and we started to say, all right, well, look at what your top line has got Boldy, Kaprizov, Ek on it. Your second line, Rossi, Zuccarello, and a free agent winger. And now your third line has got like an Ogren, Foligno, Hartman, perhaps. Your fourth line's got Johansson, Gaudreau, and I mean, that we're already talking about. Just look at how much deeper that group looks than what they finished this year.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch the JoJo Gaudreau fourth line.
But it's a fourth line. I mean, they're going to play 7 or 8 minutes a night. What difference does it make?
I'm just saying. Like,
right. And now your depth guys are the guys you're talking about, like a Hunter Height or Riley Height or whatever. Like, these are guys that now, okay, if somebody goes
Anthony,
down.
These are top prospects.
Right.
They should not be, like, Riley Height is not going to be on the fourth line
next
year.
I understand. So start him in Iowa. The guys,
he can't start in Iowa. He's got to go back to juniors.
Go back to juniors then. But I'm saying, my point is that the guys we're talking about in the top of the lineup, if he's better than them, play him in the top of the lineup. He's not going to play in the fourth line.
Anthony, it is not to the point, this whole they're better than is something that's like a couple years ago. At some point, these guys have to play.
So,
and they are not going to do that by signing Anthony Mantha to a four-year, $5 million
Anthony
deal.
Mantha,
I'm just saying that there is no free agent that right now is going to be that you're going to want to block out one of these kids.
So
eventually, they need to play.
So then don't sign any veteran in the top six and play.
It's been too late.
Let's play Height on the second line when we start the season.
I'm just saying that right now you have Foligno signed for four more years. You have Hartman signed for three. But the point is that now if you sign a top six guy to a four times five, you might as well get rid of Yurov, Height, and Height.
Well, no, that's absolutely.
Anthony, there are only so many roles. You can't block them out right now. With
how many
five
more
times
years is Zuccarello going to be here?
Two-year deal.
So he's done when Yurov's ready.
And
he's done
Anthony,
when Height's ready. I mean, right. I'm just saying.
You want to bet your life right now that they are not signing a five times five.
I'm just telling
you what they are going to do. I'm the beat writer. Tell me about Feller's Ranch again. Right. Let's go to sponsors before you give me a heart attack.
Right, but you're not even listening because what I said is.
I don't need to listen. I'm telling the people that listen to this podcast
and what is
going to happen this summer.
I think the Wild sign a veteran guy to a short-term deal, but there are other options out there that you could consider signing a guy. They have
the prospect.
They have the money where they could sign a guy to a longer deal.
First of all, they don't have that money. They have $6.9 million.
And I said, if you trade Gus, that number goes up.
To 9.7.
Maybe you trade Gus for that guy that's under contract. If you trade Gus and don't bring contract back, you'd have a little more flexibility where you could get a more veteran guy on a longer term deal. That's all I was saying is that it doesn't have to be a 1 year deal. That was the only thing I was saying with this. But my point is that all of these guys you're talking about, the hope is that they turn into, like, if Height turns into the player.
I can't believe we're spinning our wheels here.
If Height turns into the player that Zuccarello
is.
How is
he going to if you sign Anthony Mantha to a four times five
or something? Because in 2 years, Zuccarello's gone.
That's Anthony. These guys need to play.
Right.
Okay,
and
Hunter's going to start in Iowa.
Zuccarello's gone.
Right.
And
Foligno's here and Hartman's here.
And they're on the third line.
Right. And Gaudreau's here for four more.
And he's on the fourth line.
Right.
So I'm just saying, like, you've got all these guys. You keep talking about, like, if they're ready right now, then play them. And they're not. So it's going to be a year or two before they're ready to be that guy anyway.
And you're now signing another guy that's a veteran to a five-year deal.
I'm
not happening.
It doesn't.
By the way, my mom was super excited with last week's podcast because we were calm. Okay? I'm just telling you. Just tell us about Feller's Ranch.
Well, Fowler's Ranch is awesome. And if we, unfortunately tonight, we can't have their steaks because I didn't get them ordered in time. So we're going with steaks from another spot. But next time we'll have steaks from Fowler's and you'll be happy. Well, I shouldn't say you'll be happy because your blood pressure will be so high you won't be able to be happy. But you'll be a little bit more relaxed. Yeah. It's the Fowler's Ranch is unbelievable. You go to fellersranch.com. They'll deliver it in their own van Wednesdays and Thursdays. Otherwise, they'll ship it, I think, via UPS. But it's a Minnesota-grown Wagyu cattle, and it's unbelievable. They're breeding their own. They've perfected the steak itself. It is so good. You won't believe it. You can get the – sometimes there are cuts that aren't available just based on – sheer number of cattle because it's a smaller ranch, but there are a few restaurants in town that carry them. We talked about it earlier. Baltimore is one of them. Go there, just ask what they have it from Fowler's, but you can get it delivered to your house if you just go to fellersranch.com.
Here's a word from some of our other sponsors.
Hey everyone, attorney Jerry Bosch here with Bosch Law Firm and workcompexperts.com. For almost 30 years, we've represented Minnesotans just like you all over the great state of Minnesota to guarantee they've been treated fairly and with respect when they've suffered a work-related injury. A work injury can change your life in an instant. You need someone on your side who can help you focus on getting back on your feet and getting paid while you do. You may be entitled to medical benefits, wage loss benefits, job placement, retraining, and payment for permanent disability. To make sure you are being paid all the work comp benefits you're entitled to, please call the attorneys at Bosch Law Firm. The call is always free, and there's never a fee unless we recover benefits on your behalf. Call 651-333-8300, Bosch Law Firm, or visit us at workcompexperts.com.
Hey, it's Russo for Livia Weight Control Centers. Now is the time to get a jump on summer. You could lose up to 20 pounds or more in your first 8 weeks the Livia way. When you join Livia, you'll receive a personalized and doctor-recommended program tailored to your unique needs, goals, and lifestyle. Livia's amazing team of registered dietitians and nutritionists will guide you every step of the way. Again, join Livia today and get your first 8 weeks free. I've been with Livia since Christmas. I'm almost 40 pounds down. I'm now a brand ambassador, and I just love the one-on-one support that I get at my Livia Center in Woodbury. There are Twin Cities and locations throughout Minnesota and Wisconsin. I went there on Monday, in fact, and they laughed out loud when I told them that I leave Thursday indefinitely for the playoffs. They're like, what do you mean indefinitely? I'm like, I have zero idea when I'm going to get back. So I need a bunch of food and I badly need some tips to stay on the program. And can we do some even remote visits by phone or Zoom? And they were good with all that. They helped me with everything that I needed for this upcoming trip. And I just know that they're always a phone call away. So again, join Livia today and get your first 8 weeks free. Visit Livia.com. That's Livia.com, or call 855-GO-LIVIA. Make sure to let them know that Russo sent you and they'll get you all set up. Plus, Livia is now offering GLP-1 medication. So ask for more information on that. Quiet the food noise and see accelerated results by summer. Visit Livia.com or call 855-GO-LIVIA. Start your weight loss journey now and get a jump on the summer the Livia way.
Back here, Worst Seats in the House, Michael Russo, Anthony LaPanta. This pod's going to come out in the next couple of days, but Alexander Georgiev, 3 goals on 7 shots against.
Yeah, and the Avs answer every time he gives one up. This is going to be a high scoring series.
Yeah, but man, does he need to stop some pucks? Like, it almost makes you realize, like, appreciate actually what Kemper was able to do for them, because Georgiev stinks.
He's been bad, and it's one of the reasons why when we talked, I think we made our picks for the East last week.
Mm-hmm.
And in the West, I just don't see Colorado as a team that is likely to come out of the West. I think Dallas is more likely. I think even Vegas I'd put ahead of them, although one of Dallas or Vegas will be out in the first round.
What about
Vancouver,
the Oil?
I just am not sold on Edmonton.
I do like Skinner's playing lately,
He's
though.
Playing well, and I like their matchup with LA in the first round. They're going to win that series. I don't know how well Vancouver matches up with them. I like the way Vancouver played earlier in the season. I don't think they were great down the stretch. Sure. No,
I think Nashville wins the series.
Do you really?
Yeah.
All right. So let's make our pick. Yeah, like Nashville. I like Vancouver I think Vancouver wins that series in 6.
I'll tell you, I picked the Avs and the Athletic, but without Drouin, and Middlestad hasn't been great, and Georgiev not very good. Like, you know, it just makes me wonder.
So you're changing your pick to go to Edmonton?
I don't know. They have Winnipeg. No, I'm probably going with Colorado, but I do think that the Jets are
I give them a lot better chance to win the series than I did.
When I made my picks, I didn't know Drouin was going to be out for the series, and I think they said he's out for the whole series. But I like Colorado in that series. I like Vancouver over Nashville. I think the Dallas-Vegas series is going to be a heck of a series. Yeah. I'll take Dallas in seven, but whoever wins that series has got a shot to come out of the West.
And obviously Edmonton beats LA.
I think Edmonton beats LA, and I think they probably beat them in six and maybe even five. I just don't like the way LA played down the stretch.
No. And like that Wild game, I mean, the Wild, absolutely. I thought tuck it to them. All right. By the way, so we got a bunch of Twitter questions as well. We'll get to that. But I'm trying to think here where to go from here since we already got into our fight. Let's go back to the SG exit meetings. We really haven't talked about that yet. Kaprizov was an interesting one. I mean, it's very clear that he is pained by the fact that they didn't make the playoffs. He was unbelievable down the stretch, 20 goals in his last 21 games. He had 46 goals and 96 points this year after an extremely slow start where he clearly wasn't exactly healthy at the beginning of the year. Even Marcus Foligno was talking about that. But one of the hottest players down the stretch there was. He was on a 66, 124 goal pace from the moment he got back from his rib injury in that first game. I think it was the Islanders, and he actually went scoreless that game to the last 41 games. He was on a 66 goal, 124 point stretch. A big thing right now, though, Anthony, and it is going to be a narrative next year, is just making him buy in to the fact that he can win long term here, because even though he's got 2 years left on his deal, if he doesn't sign on the dotted line next summer an extension, they are going to be in a real tough quandary if he's not going to re-sign next summer, because then they might have to look at some point trading him, even though he's got a full no move. But they've got to make him buy in. This is absolutely on the organization's mind. Craig Leopold said it before the season that he's a huge part of the future only if he's here. And he basically said that he'd be lying if it's not on the mind of Bill Guerin and Craig Leopold.
Well, it should be. Although I did think it was interesting to watch the way Kirill answered the question when he was incredulous. Like, what are you talking about? We're just going to make the playoffs next year and we won't be talking about this.
But if they don't.
Yeah, I think it's clearly they need him to re-up and be a part of things that are as you go forward. I thought his second half was incredible. Early in the year, it was really strange because he'd have a night every once in a while where he was on the score sheet, but he never looked the same as he had looked in previous years. And you and I talked about it. Ryan Carter, Wes Walls, and I talked about it a lot on our broadcast, where there was just something missing. There wasn't that shift where he was circling the offensive zone with the puck, where he was creating space with his quick turns.
I think that we're vindicated by that, because look at his second half. Right. Like, he wasn't even close to what we saw in the second half and the first.
And in the first half,
they lost.
We had some discussions where we thought he was headed for being one of the top five players in the NHL. He clearly isn't there. And we were starting to, like, is he even in the top 20 right now? Well, the second half, he was. He was a top five player in the NHL and looked like the player that he had been the previous years. And I think about what we're talking about with him compared to anybody else who's ever played for the Minnesota Wild. We're talking about a guy who, for a half a season, we were wondering what's wrong with him. Why isn't he dominating games? And he ends up with the only guy who's ever scored more goals in a season for the Wild was him a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what this guy has done and how different he is from anybody else who's ever worn a Wild sweater.
100%. I laugh at people that's like, you know, every time I say that he's the first superstar that played for the Wild, and they're like, well, okay, they had Gabrick. He is so much better player than Gabrick. It's not even funny.
They're not in the same stratosphere.
Yeah, not even. I totally agree with you.
340 goal seasons.
Yep. So next year, I mean, they do have to show it. He's starting to see the fruits of the labor here with some of the prospects. And that is the type of thing that is going to have to make him really be sold. Like guys like Yurov and Ogren and Haight and Height and, you know, all these guys actually have the ability to be, big parts of the future, obviously. You know, what was a little bit concerning down the stretch is obviously Zuccarello's play. No goals in 20 games until he scored in the season finale. And this season, at 5-on-5, he had 2 goals and 5 assists without Kaprizov on the ice. That's freaking remarkable.
Yeah, I don't think he was as good as he's been. And
after really, if you remember, like, we were in Calgary, I remember, in early December, and I did his pace, and he was, like, on a 90-point pace.
Yeah,
and part obviously, of that, then he got hurt.
And a big part of that was power play. He ended up with more power play assists than any Wild player has ever had. That, I think, dried up a little bit. The other thing was that he wasn't playing with Kirill, and, you know, you can make the argument that, well, that's on him to find a way to score even when he's not with Kaprizov. But we don't need to go into further detail on what was wrong with Minnesota's secondary scoring lines this year. And Zuccarello is certainly a part of the responsibility for that. But let's remember what that second scoring line looked like. It was Ryan Hartman on an off year. It was Marco Rossi, who was just starting to emerge as a player. Guys like Marcus Johansson were on that line for a big chunk of the season. So I think maybe it's fair to wait and say, let's judge Matt Zuccarello next year if there's another legitimate top six forward on the other wing, and then see if we think his game is slipping.
You know, that's the thing. And maybe David Perron or somebody like that is that finisher. I mean, obviously Perron gets most of his stuff on the power play.
But he's a better player than I ever. Yeah. I remember when we watched him in the playoffs, when you watched him every night for 6 games and say, wow, he's just, when you only watch him once or twice a year, you don't really appreciate just how good he is. He's a good player.
I just thought of a funny thing. Like everything I said to you at the beginning when we were ranting, I'm like, if it's Jonathan Marchessault, all right, I'll sign him for 5x5, you know, even though he's 33, just because everybody knows I'm biased toward him. He's one of my favorite people to deal with. And a hell of a player. That's type of, like, it's funny because if he leaves Vegas, that's what he's going to want. And obviously he can't do that. That's why I think Perron, like, there are, you know, the one thing, like, again, it's going to be a 1-year deal. I'm telling you, that's what they want. And, you know, not to get back on this, but there are guys that might have to, like a Pacioretty, a Tarasenko, people like that. But if you had a choice between those type of players.
Yeah. And see, to me, I would rather.
I'm trying to think of left wings.
Yeah. I would rather go a slightly younger guy, even if I had to give him an extra year or two in term at a lower price, than sign one of those guys. I just think the Pacioretty, I've always loved as a player, but look at what his last couple of years have been.
Yeah.
Do you really want to take that chance?
And I was watching him very closely today in that Washington game, and I think it's affected him.
Right.
You know, and, I mean, freaking 2 Achilles tears.
I've never been a huge Tarasenko fan, but Marchessault, he's a terrific player.
Yeah.
But in order to get him, you're going to have to go a few more years.
For him to leave Vegas, he's going to want term and big money that they can't give him.
And so right. Obviously and the Wild can't. So you just never know exactly what's going to be on the table for some of these guys. And that was really all I was talking about earlier, was that you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen in a potential Gus trade. And if the Gus trade doesn't bring the right return, I don't think they feel like we absolutely have to trade Gus. I think they're going to try to, and we'll love to see what's out there, but maybe the Gus trade brings a guy back that already has a contract that you like. You just don't know.
I'll be interested if they do trade Gus where it is, because it's going to have to be like, look, you're buying low. You know, one thing I think the Wild would love to do is put themselves in a position in the first round where maybe they can move up a couple spots. And the way to do that is probably to get a second round pick. So could you trade him for a second somewhere and then package your 13th pick with a second and move up, you know, to get a player that you really covet? It's just like, could he be the next San Jose Shark? Yeah.
I don't know. To me, he seems like a guy more likely to land somewhere where it's a team that's closer to contention than San Jose.
Yeah.
You know, more like a Detroit or Washington, Carolina, not Carolina, I guess, but spots like that where
it's going to have to be somewhere that's cap space.
We got a pretty good club, but we might just need to catch lightning in a bottle with a goaltender. And Detroit might be, Colorado could be a spot. Mm-hmm. You know, there's teams like that, you know, maybe we catch a guy and whatever happens, he figures it out here and can carry us where we're a goalie away. I haven't looked too closely at something. Who knows what happens with Markstrom? Maybe Calgary's a spot where you land. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, New Jersey, I think, is probably going to go after a guy like Markstrom or John Gibson or something like that. Of course, sir, I'm doing this without knowing any of the prospect pools. So, you know, we're looking at teams that don't have goalies, but who knows what they have coming. I haven't really studied that up. Let's just go real quick, just in our own minds here, think about some of the exit interviews. Talked to Spurgeon the other day. Spurgeon made it very clear of what he was going through this year, having numb foot during games and things like that. He's feeling great. Has been skating now for a month. Very confident that he'll be back ready to go by training camp, well in advance of training camp. Marcus Foligno had, the other side of his core muscle done compared to last offseason. He's confident he's going to be back. He's feeling very good. Brock Faber was interesting because he's not satisfied. He knows he wants to have a huge summer, wants to be one of the best defensemen in the league. He knows he's got a monster extension coming in the 9+ range and made it extremely clear he's not planning to have a sophomore slump.
And I think that's none of that surprises anybody who's around this guy. And it also wasn't surprised to find out he was playing through things.
I actually remember the incident that broke his ribs, and I mean, it doesn't shock me, actually. I mean, I don't know if you remember, he was having trouble breathing. There was a road game that we were at, I believe.
I just remember looking at him for the last month of the season and watching him as he walked out of the rink every day and looked like he had all he could do just to keep moving, and yet then when game time came, you would have never guessed that he was fighting through something like this. And I mean, as you know, I've had a couple cracked ribs and I couldn't roll over at night when I was trying to sleep.
Yep.
And this guy's playing in the NHL and going into the corners against some of the best guys in the league. And you would never have known that that's what he, and so this goes back to what we're talking about.
Doesn't it feel like every year when there's an injury on the Wild or maybe any team, there always seems to be the same type of injury over and over again? Like this year was the year of the ribs with the Wild.
It was.
Kaprizov, Goudreau.
I'll go back to how we started the show with the Brock Faber's not making any excuses.
Right.
He's not using this as an excuse, but it for sure is an explanation as to why the last month and a half of the season, his scoring numbers weren't quite as high as they were earlier in the year. He was still a highly productive defenseman.
Explains why they took him off the number one power play for a while.
Yeah, part of it for sure. Mm-hmm. And I also think they were just trying to lessen his load.
Right.
Because we can't ask this guy to be on our top penalty kill unit and run our top power play. Maybe we save him a minute and a half each night by having him be a part of the second power play group. All those are questions for the future with this club. But I just think he's a winner. He's a guy around whom you can build a defensive core. And if Jared Spurgeon can come back and be Jared Spurgeon, you've got a defensive core that once again will be able to be the backbone of this club.
Absolutely. Here's a word from some of our sponsors.
Russo here, and I'm excited to announce that Aquarius Home Services is hosting its biggest event yet, their open house at the Little Canada location, running from May 3rd to May 5th. Get ready to seize incredible savings on essential home services, including HVAC systems, Connecticut water treatment systems, generators, water heaters, and more. Join them for exclusive deals and unbeatable discounts that are unavailable anywhere else. Whether you're aiming to elevate your home's comfort or bolster its efficiency, their expert team is here to assist you. Circle the dates on your calendar and make sure to drop by the Open House event. It's an opportunity you won't want to miss. Again, May 3rd to May 5th at their Little Canada location. Aquarius believes in earning the right to be recommended. They're just a click away at AquariusHomeServices.com. And don't forget to mention, Russo sent you.
Don't wait. Save smarter with a 5.10% annual percentage yield 13-month certificate from Royal Credit Union. Royal's 5.10% 13-month certificate has no minimum opening balance and a locked-in rate for a guaranteed return on your investment. Open a 5.10% 13-month certificate at any Royal office or online at rcu.org/certificate510. Early withdrawal penalties could reduce earnings and principal. APY accurate as of 3/1/24. Insured by NCUA.
I've been telling you about my friend Scott Dayton's shop, Twill, in the Dining Gallery for a long time. I want to give you some updates. Spring has arrived at Twill. We have a completely new collection of casual and dress clothing in the store now from all of our favorite vendors. Whether you're going on a trip to a warm weather destination or you simply want to get ready for spring in Minnesota, Twill is your one-stop shop for everything you need. Golf courses are opening soon. Get ready with new spring items from Peter Millar, Johnny O, Grayson, and Shoes. We have a full slate of events coming up as well. April 4th is our Samuelson Trunk Show. It's a great time to get your new summer suit or sport coat. April 12th and 13th is our signature Peter Millar event. Our PM Crown Shop is absolutely loaded with fresh new merch. And hey, I wear Peter Millar all the time. Comfortable, durable, great stuff. So check out Twill in the Edina Galleria, twillmn.com.
Back here, Worst Seats in the House, Michael Russo and Anthony LaPanta. Final segment of the show. Lots of Twitter questions as well. Thanks to our newest sponsor, Feller's Ranch, and we're coming to you from on location, the Aquarius Home Services studio. Let me go through some of these questions here. Tyler Gorell. Tyler Gorell goes, what do you guys think will be the biggest surprise in the offseason regarding the Wild? I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I think we have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen. Their top 7D are going to be back. Barring anything, any trade, but I don't see any surprises there. They're clearly their forward group is the one that's to me up in the air. They are gonna eventually create an issue with having, I think, a little too many forwards. But I think that's important that they're gonna have to have some depth here and sort of build up Iowa, sign some two-way guys that are gonna be on this team. But what I'm really fascinated about, like Riley Height's going to get an opportunity. They want him to play in a top six role. Well, your top six is pretty much full. So where do they give him that ice time? They're not going to have him on the fourth line.
Well, and the same with Liam Ogren. Where does he fit? I think they'll give him a legit shot to not only make the team, but command one of those major roles. And you just never know what the... I have a feeling like there's just going to be one deal that surprises us summer.
The one surprise that could happen is a Rossi trade.
Yeah.
That would be the one that would be. And I don't know how big of a surprise it is.
Right. That's what I'm saying is that it wouldn't be a surprise, but it would be a shakeup. It would be a shakeup what the top six would look like. But Liam Ogren's going to get every opportunity, not only to make the team, but to have a major spot. Mm-hmm. Murat Husnadinov is, I think, almost a lock to make the team. Mm-hmm. Then it's where he fits in your lineup. So there's just a lot of guys that are going to have opportunities. And I think we've heard John Hines talk about this a number of times. And Billy made a mention of it at the exit interview or exit press conference the other day, where it's having some young guys that are capable of pushing the veterans is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I would say some of the veteran guys this year got complacent because they'd look over their shoulder and say, who's going to take my spot? But I do think it's human nature. If you know the guy behind you is a guy with upside and a guy who's chomping at the bit to have a larger role in the lineup, maybe it is just a little bit of a, not only a motivating factor, but within a game, it provides the team an opportunity to make a change. If Ryan Hartman's on your third line and Liam Ogren's on your third line and you're the second line right wing and you're not going tonight, all of a sudden, well, we got a couple guys down here who have proven they can play in the top six. We'll throw them up there for a few shifts. Maybe it ends up being a few games. And I think that having that, that's why earlier in the show we were talking about the roster is going to be largely the same. I also think it's going to be deeper just because a few of these guys are here. When this year's roster was set, there was no Ogren. There was no Husnadinov. There was some of these other guys who might make the team weren't even around or they weren't a realistic possibility. So I think there's going to be a deeper group and a group that's got a little more talent pushing the guys above them. I thought Billy's comment was interesting when he just said, if you're a veteran guy, it should scare the hell out of you and it should motivate you to play better. Mm-hmm.
Right now, Lewis has to Mason Shawn this season with an injury, and how likely is it he'll be back? I don't know anything about an injury. I know that he obviously got crushed into the boards in Colorado, but he came back and played the rest of the way. But in terms of likely, he'll be back if he's willing to take a two-way contract. If he's not, they're probably going to walk away from him in June. That's just my gut, because you can't give him a one way right now. You absolutely cannot. Let's see. Wild Boys. You think Ogren has a realistic shot to make the team out of camp? Yes. You know what I wanted to talk to you about was this Arizona press conference the other day. Did you watch any of it with Gary Bettman? It was hysterical.
I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched some of the snippets that were...
Alex Morello is such... There is no way that this league is going to let him back in. I think they're just confident that he's going to just screw this whole thing up or not get to win the auction. He has so many enemies in Arizona. He is so unsophisticated for a billionaire. He's so unsophisticated behind a mic. And this is somebody that had media training with one of the most powerful PR people in Arizona this last year. And Gary Bettman was sitting next to him, squirming, interrupting him. All I could
think
about
watching Gary Bettman the whole time was him thinking, I hope this is the last press conference I ever do next
There's
to this
no
guy.
No chance that he'll ever sit next to that guy again. Absolutely ran that organization into a ground, and for being the most ineffective owner in the league, made $700 million for his trouble. And now they go to Arizona. They get some stable ownership as the hope. And then, you know, either going to renovate the Delta Center or build a new arena. That is the hope. But that press conference, it's worth going on YouTube and watching the entire 48 minutes. It was unbelievable. My favorite part was when he said, I don't know anything about unpaid bills, when he owes money to everybody in Arizona, has not paid his bills. It's well reported that he hasn't to so many different people, hotel bills, airline charters, things like that. And then the other thing that was hilarious is when he's like, can you just let me breathe? At some point, I'll give you back your money, even though we don't have a team yet, if you're a season ticket holder. I mean, he's just like Bettman was just like, oh my God, get me on that plane to Salt Lake City in a minute.
And I do think this is all speculation. It sure seems like they tried to make rigid deadlines. And look, if you don't have this by this date, then it's done. You can only take on this much from other investors. I think all of it was done to let's create every possible spot we can that would initiate failure from this guy, on this guy's part, to bring a team back there.
Basket of Adorable, one of my favorite Twitter names, says, did they give same talk to Boldy as last year about getting his nose dirty and getting into tough areas? I mean, I'm sure it wasn't as harsh as last year, but that is definitely the message that they want. I mean, if he plays with that power game that we've seen, like in LA, you know, he has a chance to be a true superstar in this league. 22 years old, and again, he's shoots the puck like few, and the hope is that he's just going to continue to grow. I expect that he'll be in the World Championship. As by the way, Eric Sinek committed today. Zuccarello is playing. Rossi's playing. Faber obviously can't. Middleton, I think that Canada would like him, but I think he's dealing with an injury that he's going to have to get worked on here in the offseason. So we'll see. The World Championships this year is going to have a lot of intrigue. Walter Norris goes, what is Gary Bettman's office like? The people must know. I've actually seen it, been it. It's awesome. Like their new offices, the NHL. Yeah,
we walked through his office.
It's amazing.
But yeah,
we kind of walked through there, and I went right into Bill Daly's office. But they what's fascinating about where Daly and Bettman are is it's kind of behind a secret wall in the new offices. It's pretty neat. Gidget Rhino Buns, great Twitter name. Asked, was Gus's struggles related to becoming a new father? I sure hope not, because I need Joe Smith to be on his game next season. I mean, a lot of people have babies in the NHL. If that's the reason why he struggled, that's a major problem. It was interesting, Gus. We haven't talked about Gus's exit interview, but he clearly looked shell-shocked after meeting with John Hines and the coaching staff. I think they told him to get in shape.
Right.
But then he was talking about, like, he essentially was alluding that he's got to get a sports psychologist this offseason, because he said he's done this a couple times the last couple of weeks, talking about the brain's a powerful thing, and that they were in games that, you know, he'd be fine, and then he would just sort of melt down.
I think there should have been a shockwave through his body as soon as the Fleury signing was announced, because
it's obvious now. It's going to happen.
It's obvious that there at least
going to attempt.
You're going to attempt. And the likelihood of a deal is high, I would think. I don't know. You never know what's going to motivate a guy and what all of a sudden makes a guy, catches a guy's attention, what happens, whether it be a different voice that suddenly connects with somebody. You just never know what it'll be. And hopefully with him, it's something happens because he has the physical skills to be an elite goaltender in the NHL, but he's going to have to figure out how to become a more consistent competitor. And a guy that I thought his comments were really interesting because it opened your eyes a little bit to that. Okay, well, this might have something to do with just how was this guy wired as a competitor? And that's one of the reasons why Marc-Andre Fleury has been in this league as long as he has, is that nobody questions that when it comes to him. Like, this guy, he is wired to compete.
Yeah.
Wants the net, he wants a breakaway coming his way when his team's up by one with a minute to go, because he wants that challenge.
The one thing about Gus, though, is he is really a good guy, and I do have confidence that he's going to work his butt off this summer to get himself back on track. The question is, do the Wild get to see that effect, because he might not get to this training camp next year. OC Wild Boy is 59 asks, looking at what Bruno has done in Nashville, imagine in an alternate timeline had he become the coach of the Wild. You could say that about anything. Like, John Cooper has won 18 playoff series with the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Wild have won 4 in their 23-year history. And if you remember, before Chuck Fletcher got the job here in Minnesota, the job was offered to Steve Yzerman. And Yzerman turned it down because it was an Olympic year in 2010. And then in 2011, he becomes the Lightning GM. So, I mean, you could say that all the time. Sometimes things are just timing, right? That's just the reality. But in terms of Bruno, I mean, you know, he was assistant GM for longer than he was on the bench here in Minnesota. And obviously, Paul Fenton just fired him as being assistant GM for no reason. Probably thought he was a leaker. My favorite part of that Paul Fenton year is when he told the assistant GM, Andrew Burnett, not to come into the office anymore. That was wonderful. Let's talk about Julie. I was thinking about, so Julie was the press box greeter at Xcel Energy Center for a number of years. He replaced Lou. Remember Lou, who was always
Luke
a friendly,
Petronio, yep, yep.
who just recently passed away. And he was always the friendliest face. And Julie picked up right at where he left off. And Julie worked her final game the other day. She's got a medical issue. And so she's going to go enjoy life and all that stuff. But she's always, the one thing about all organizations is that they have, there's this fabric of people that the fans don't ever get to see that are very integral to just, all of us doing our day-to-day job. Remember, Fran used to be the elevator operator at Xcel Energy Center. And she was just incredible. And she no longer works for the team, works for the arena as well. I remember in Florida, when I first started off there in 1998, I started covering the team in 95, but when they moved into National Car Rental Center, Office Depot Center, whatever it's called now, there were two husband and wife elevator operators that would bring you up to the press box. One's name was Seymour. The other was Lorraine. And they were like the sweetest thing. We were in just LA the other day. You weren't there, but you remember that guy that works in the press room and the media room has been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Dolores in Dallas has been in that press elevator forever. Every organization has these people that nobody gets to see but us that are there every day. And Julie was one of those people. Kelly, who's in the elevator now. I mean, they're all just incredible people.
Yeah, they are. And that's, well, there's two parts here. One is Julie will be missed.
Yep.
Great. Just always happy, always a smile. She knew almost everybody by name when they got off the elevator. And, hey, here's what seat you're in tonight.
And not even just the local people.
Right.
Like, she, if you were from
other teams,
yeah,
and knew the broadcasters from the other teams, and just really a tremendous lady. I'm hoping to make it. Are you going to make it to her going away party?
I hope
party
so. I don't know if I'm in town.
Yeah. I'm hoping to make it down for that.
This won't shock you. I don't know if concentration level is the right word, or my alertness or attention to detail. So they had these flyers the other day, mm-hmm. for her May 22nd party, I believe it is,
it's
at Tom
May,
Reed's,
yeah.
4 to 7. Well, I didn't read it. I just saw 4 to 7. So I just like, oh yeah. So I told her, hey, I'll be at your party later tonight. And she's like, what are you talking about?
So I looked at it and it said Wednesday. Yeah. And yeah. I saw Wednesday and the 22nd. I was just thinking next Wednesday.
You and I both would have shown
and
up.
So I looked at it and I said, hey, I'll see you at your thing on Wednesday. And she said, well, it's not this Wednesday. It's in May. And it's like, okay, I better double check that flyer. But she's terrific. And you're right. There are just so many people like that. And that's actually, when we were talking about all this stuff going on with Arizona, that's one of the things that I think people forget about is all the people that are a part of the day-to-day operations of an organization, whether it be working at the rink, like the people at Mullet Arena we've been there 4 times in 2 years.
Yeah.
But yet I know these people. Yeah.
Remember Chuck? Chuck since passed away. Remember Chuck, the elevator operator in Phoenix?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody like has those like.
And it's those are the people that pay the price when something like what's happening in Arizona happens. So Julie will be missed. I hope I pronounced her name right. I think it's Sheeran, but it might be pronounced Sharon. I know it's spelled like Sheeran. And so maybe Julie Sheeran, she'll be missed. And I know she listens to our podcast sometimes.
Oh,
so
really?
I hope she listens to this one. And I know she's a big traveler and has some exciting trips planned ahead. I hope she enjoys all those with some time with her family, and she deserves the opportunity to enjoy life after work.
It is like the one thing when you're around organizations as much as we are going to the arenas, it's truly unreal the number of people that it takes to just put on a hockey game. You know, that the fans don't get to see that are there hours before, whether it's cleaning or putting the concessions out or setting up the audio visual, you know, the arena cams, the cameras, it's, you know, Marty, the security by the Wild locker room, been there forever. It's just,
yeah, there's that. And when I get there every day on game days and you walk in and there's almost nobody in the arena that you would see at that point, I sit in my booth and look and the bowl's empty. But there's so many people behind the scenes already after it. But
police officers.
And the other part is it has a little bit of a, almost like a traveling circus feel, where when we're on the road somewhere and you'll watch as these vans pull in and we're loading up all our stuff and the efficiency with which these teams jump on a plane and fly to the next city to put on a show. Yeah. And it's like being a part of this traveling circus. Like we just jump on a plane, we fly to the next city, and then we're unloading all this stuff and putting on a show in this next building. And there are some times like that where sometimes you find yourself stepping back and saying, I don't think people realize everything that goes into what they experience when they get here, what they experience when they flip on their TV to watch the game, when they've call up the Athletic to read the articles. Like there's just a million things that are going on that everybody that isn't around it probably has no idea exactly what it takes.
Well, at Staples Center the other day, or crypto.com, I mean, everybody knows LA traffic, it's crazy. So the Wild had a morning skate at 9:30 that day because it was a 6:30 game. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to go back to my airport hotel. I was taking a red eye out that night anyway, but I'm going to stay all day. And so the weather was brutal in LA the whole road trip, the weather was brutal. So I decided I was there working all day, got done with a couple of articles, and I decided, well, I can't go take a walk outside now because it's crap out. So I just decided to walk the lower bowl at Staples Center. And it was crazy during my walk, just an hour, like walking around, the number, like it would be like one person. And next thing you know, there were like 5 people and there was like 25. And this is all 3-4 hours before the game, just suddenly. Well before the doors open, just the number of people that were there to make this game against the Minnesota Wild work that night, whether it was getting ready for the cameras or getting the concessions ready, the tickets ready, all that stuff. So kudos to everybody out there. This has been a fun podcast. Anthony only made me lose my temper once, but it was for a 15-minute stretch.
15 minutes.
Yeah. Again, 1-year deal, promise you. So there you go. Thanks everybody for joining the Worst Seats in the House podcast. Again, remember in May, we are actually not going to be doing a live show, but we'll be doing 2 this summer. So pay attention to our Talk North Twitter account, pay attention to our personal Twitter accounts, and we'll let you know when the next live show is. But our 4 that we're going to be doing in May will all be like this. Thanks everybody for joining the Aquarius Home Services studio. Thanks to Feller's Ranch, Bosch Law Firm, Livia Way Control Centers, Twill in the Edina Galleria, Aquarius Home Services, your local authorized dealer of Connecticut water treatments, and Royal Credit Union. See, even a lot of people make this podcast tick, including Brandon, our awesome producer.
So much coming out, there's nothing going in. I know that you feel like you're never gonna win. Oh, but the world won't forgive a winner.
I don't need to listen. I'm telling the people that listen to this podcast what is going to happen this summer.